We're going to cease and desist just a little before 11, because I've taken in my belt twice already. So in case we don't get done with this message, I'm giving it to you now so you can work on it and have some fun. So if you gentlemen will pass out those. Everybody take one, please. Then refrain from reading the obedience what, and well, we'll read that together later, and then focus your attention on the outline, and we'll get underway. Ralph, thank you for presenting the offering project. And some of you who are alumni or will be alumni from the various universities, if the Lord gives you employment, don't forget the old home school and the ministry. Don't forget the NAV rep that ministered at your alumni at Oklahoma State or Fayetteville. When the Lord gives you a job, you might want to remember that person and take him on as your missionary. It may or may not be the respective reps that are here now, but the ministry will go on, and you'll have an investment. So don't forget them. This isn't exactly an outline. It's just some things that I've picked up here in regard to the disciplines of a disciple from 2 Timothy. So we're just going right straight down. And everybody have an outline? No? I got two people with graduate degrees, and they didn't realize that there were two different outlines. We should have had a couple of privates pass those out. I had to get that in, Lynn. You know, sometime I might have got it in now, huh? Second Timothy chapter 2. Everybody got an outline and put your obedience what? Don't read that while I'm talking. Just take the outline. We'll all read it together. You won't be left behind. Thou therefore, my son, let's read it in unison. Then I'll know I can watch your lips move. Ready? Turn it over. It's written for you on your outline. You don't have to read your Bibles. It's written for you on your outline. All your references are right here on your piece of paper. So you can just read with me. Ready? Thou, therefore, my son, in unison, I want to hear your mumbles. And now, see, I like I say. Let's turn in your Bibles and have a tongues meeting. I love it. Okay, tongues meeting. 2 Timothy chapter 2, first two verses. Ready? Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard me, the same commit thou. I hope so. I've entitled this single-mindedness. Single-mindedness. You, my son, I'm talking to you, Timothy. The things that you've heard of me, I have a message on the things that you've heard of me. What did Paul hear of? What did Timothy hear Paul? I won't give you that this morning. It's interesting to study what he heard. He heard him pray. He heard him preach. He probably heard him groan from the stripes. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hold to one or love the other. Either he will despise the one and cling to the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In Matthew 6:24, he's primarily speaking about contrasting the world, mammon, to serving God. But let me lay upon your heart single-mindedness in anything that you tackle. One of the problems in getting your lessons and getting your assignments is to remove distractions. When you hit a job, to remove distractions, to zero in on a job, you might want to learn to set an alarm clock so you can learn to concentrate so strong that you have to have someone interrupt you or you just keep going. I worked with Joyce Trotman for a number of years, and I was kind of his errand boy, and I traveled around with him. And a lot of times he'd have appointments, and he'd be in a committee meeting, and he'd say, John, I want you to knock on the door in 35 minutes. Because he'd be in that committee meeting, and he'd be so involved, and he had another appointment. Or he'd be doing a job, and he'd have me call him at a certain time, because he'd lose track of time. He had such powers of concentration, he'd lose track of time. No man can serve two masters. Learn to do one job at a time and do that job well. Then go to another job and then go to another job and go to another job. Then put them all together. No man can serve two masters. Then you have to have priorities. What are your priorities? Priority one is never priority 13. Priority one is priority one, priority two, two, three, three. Learn to do that and you'll be a rich person if you want to apply that to riches. You'll be a successful person. Learn to do things in the order of their priority, and you're well on your way to success. You've got 51% right there with no skills at all. Learn to do things in their priority. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, this one thing I do, one at a time. That particular thing is forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When I got out of high school, I was 17 years old in 1937. I didn't have an opportunity to go to college at that particular time. It was 4 years later. So I wanted to make a living. And I had a chance to work with my father and I worked with my uncle who were builders. And I was lost as a goose. But I picked up the idea of hit one thing hard and hit it hard till you grasp it. So I had a chance of pouring concrete. In those days, we did had little jobs. We had little mixers that we fed with a spoon, you know. and we mixed it up ourselves and so on. In the latter part of my working days, while the ready-mix concrete came, I was sure glad for that. I should erect a monument to the man who invented ready-mix concrete. Then I didn't have to mix it up. I learned to work hard and concentrate so I would master something. Then I'd go to another job. And I worked day and night. I was lost, didn't have no other motivation. And I wanted to learn so badly. I remember I would work so hard, I was about 19 years old. I remember I was in Port St. Joe, Florida. I was working so hard, was working 9 hours a day laying brick, and I was fresh out of school. My bones would hurt. I'd drive my body. But I learned to build a house by the time I was 21 years old with my own hands, except electrical and plumbing. You can do it. You don't have to be all that brilliant. But you have to have a single mind. My dad, he was always on me to read the books at night. I didn't want to do that much. Later, I learned the value of reading what you're studying. It's marvelous. It's a marvelous way to educate yourself. If you read it in a book and then do it practically, and then read it in a book and do it practically, my, you can learn. If you don't have a chance to practice it, what you read and what you study, you don't get it as far. Jesus told Martha in Luke 10:42, only a few things are really needed. Maybe only one. Isn't that gorgeous? Listen, folks. Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe. Jesus Christ, who before the foundation of the world wrought our salvation, knew every day. Every day was numbered. This Jesus, who put every star in place. This Jesus, who made every snowflake different every time the snow's been falling and all, as long as it will fall. Every kitty cat different. Every person different. Jesus said, only a few things are really needed. Maybe just one. Doesn't that send you, aren't you glad, you simple folks? You can get it, baby. Just one thing. Just one at a time. And Mary has chosen that one thing. Please don't drag it away from her. Tear it away from her. That particular thing that he was talking about was sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. One thing. Matthew 22, 37 and 38, he gets really prolific now. He got two things. Jesus, they asked, came to Jesus and said, Lord, which is the first and great commandment? And I just love the way he answers. Today you ask some teacher, now, son, what do you mean, great commandment? He didn't say, what do you mean? He just answered the man's question. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Two psalm books. This psalm book, this is real deep now. You have to concentrate. This psalm book is not this psalm book. But it's like it. I can use either one. This psalm book like this one. I can use either one. Jesus said, first commandment is not the second commandment, but it's like it. Same as. You can use it for the same thing. This one's like this one. See? Brilliant, eh? Don't you look at it? Real deep. And the second commandment is, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Hear me now. Hear me. Listen to me. Do unto others you have them do unto you. Treat other people like you want to be treated. You know, you wander off and you're supposed to belong to a certain group or a certain gang or a certain Bible study, and you don't show up and you don't call in and you don't apologize when you do call in. Well, I'm just kind of doing my thing. Well, everybody knows you're not loyal, but you. One thing. Love your neighbors, you love yourself. One thing at a time. Loyal. No man can serve two masters. Either you hold one, love the other. I've been working with the Navigators over 40 years. I meet young fellas. I was sharing this last night. I meet young fellas, and they really want help. And I said, look, won't you call me? Come see me. I got a big house, extra bedroom. Come see me. Hey, John, I'd love that. Well, why don't you phone me now? You call and you come. I said, I'm in and out of town, but man, I don't get that call. He's not all that interested. He's not all that sold. You see? Single-mindedness. Be loyal to something. Be single-minded about something. You know, don't jump from here to there all the time. If you do, do it with a decision. Now, these next two, weight and self-control, I couldn't find a verse for these in 2 Timothy, so I just stuck them in there anyway. That's for free. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We live in an instant day. We don't like to wait. We like instant coffee, you know, instant tea. It's one of the most lucrative markets in the world. I just was reading in the paper yesterday how McDonald's is putting in a store in Little Rock where they're going to have two drive-bys, two lanes. I've never seen a McDonald's with two lanes. They're figuring out, wow, we don't want to wait. I want that hamburger now. They said, good, you can get it now. we're going to fix it up for you, boy. And I've been watching their stock, and it's strong. It's strong. Why? We don't want to wait. They found out what we don't want to do, and they're going to help us. We don't have to wait for hamburgers. We don't want to wait to get married. We have stuff to put in concrete so it'll dry faster and cure faster because the customer don't want to wait. He says, John, I want trucks on there right away. Don't want to wait. It cost him a lot of money. Young nations are impatient. They don't want to wait. They want the same things as older, mature nations without waiting. When our nation was young and we were learning our cultures from more established societies, some wag wrote, who was the idiot that passed up the siesta? In quietness and confidence, Isaiah 30:15 shall be your strength. We desire to become disciples of Jesus Christ without paying the price. And as young as I am, you have to pay the price every day of your life. You know, Jesus made the world in 6 days, and then what did he do? Someone tell me. You know how we interpret that? He quit. Yeah, Jesus made the world in 7 days and quit. But he didn't quit. You know, our thought pattern is, Jesus worked a long time way back there when he was creating the world. But he hadn't been working since. No. He just rested. The devil, he tempted Jesus and as he come out of the wilderness. And what does it say? He left him how long? For a while, for a season. See, the devil don't quit either, you know. We have to pay the price. There's a cost. Self-control, restraint. If I could give you two words, discipline, restraint, and if you don't like those two words, you can turn it restraint, discipline. If you will use those two words all of your life, discipline, restraint, discipline, restraint, it'll put you in good all your days. Discipline, restraint. Just back off a little bit. Don't get it all down. Discipline, restraint. Discipline, restraint. Discipline, restraint. Because our nature is, we want it now. 1 Peter 4:1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You don't do a good job sinning in the hospital, you know. When you're sick and laid up and feel bad, you don't do an awful good job sinning. To sin, you've got to have three things going for you. You've got to have time for which you're not accountable. You've got to have some money that you can spare. And you've got to be in fairly good health to do a good job. Any of those things missing is going to cut out on your sin. One of the things that can cut down on our sin, if we keep under our bodies. Here it said about Jesus, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Exercise, when I was a young single man, was one of my salvations. Exercise and hard work. 2 Peter 1:6, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, patience, and to patience, godliness. 1 Corinthians 14:12, and the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. A lot of times a young person will say, well, I just got carried away, you know. I just got carried away. And the world feeds that. You know, if it's a hot night and the natives are restless, well, that's the reason they're restless. It's a hot night. But you're still accountable for your actions. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. The Bible says you can cut it off and cut it on. You can take control of your spirit unless you willfully give your spirit to the control of another. You can give yourself to control of an evil spirit or the Spirit of God. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Fits of anger. You can have victory over that. You really can. 3. Thou therefore endure hardness. We don't like this one, do we? James 1:1-2 in the Philippians. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. 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 By and large, in basketball, there's one basic thing that you have to have above the other players. One basic thing. Most every one of those fellas can shoot. Most of them can dodge and weave. What is it that you have to have in basketball above your mates that's going to have a good chance of winning the game? Someone tell me. Endurance. If you're fresh and can drive out there those last 5 minutes when those other guys are bushed, I can put the crazy thing in the hoop if there's nobody down there. It's those people all around me that disturb me. And if this old boy gets down there fast enough, he's got a week to put it in. You see? Endurance. 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 Our children were competitive swimmers. Neither one were gifted athletes as far as Olympic. Bonnie was better than Jay. But Jay picked up an idea. Endurance. So he began to practice the longer, like the 400 meters, 200 meters, 400 meters, and a mile. Because those hotshot gifted guys didn't want to put in the work to swim the 400 and 800 meters and the mile. Because talent don't swim a mile. Endurance swims a mile. And I used to enjoy it because that's about the only thing that he was almost to the winner in so many things, but he learned this one, and I used to enjoy it because past the halfway mark, if they were neck and neck, I knew the kid would win because the neighbor kid didn't put in his time. But this kid put in his time, and he swam negative laps. That is, the last lap was faster than his fastest lap, next to the last lap. So his slowest lap was the first lap. But that takes discipline. That takes endurance. But you can learn it. And if you don't have all that much talent, then that's what you can do, see. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What is going to give me endurance? The Holy Spirit of God motivating my weak flesh. Letting God control my life. Not entangle. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Luke 21:34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Things of the surface. Not entangle. Concentrate on what you're doing. Keeping the rules. 2:5. And if any man strive for masters, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Don't entertain the thought of not going by the rules. When you're thinking of marriage, don't entertain the thought of not going by the rules. Ministry, go by the rules. Business, go by the rules. Business people say, well, I mean, young guys sometimes when they first start off, well, you know, you got to shave the corners like other people. No, you find out in business there's some basic hard rules out there that you have to go by. And if you go by the rules, you can win. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. One of the things that you're going to face when you get out of university is debt. You're going to face buying things. You're going to place, well, look, I got to have a car, I got to have this, I got to have this. You'll be surprised what you don't have to have if you work at it. So many kids face life with a lot of debt. $10,000, $12,000, $14,000 debt, maybe more. One of the reasons you faced it with debt is because you didn't have help when you came in, you didn't have help in your thought pattern, and you probably didn't have help financially. Then when you begin to get out of debt and get a job and get a raise, then your needs increase. I have watched what happens to people when they get a windfall of money, like they get a raise and like they're in an apprenticeship and they're making X number of dollars and then they are hired on permanently and their salary is doubled. Or grandma dies and they have some money. Everyone that I've ever watched when they had a windfall of money bought a later model car. Once in a while they'd go to Acapulco, once in a while they'd go on a vacation, but usually it's getting a car. I've watched it. Sometimes a fellow, they'll be struggling along and have an old clunker, and the wife start to work, and then she'll get a raise, and straight away they get a car. You can plot these things. I've watched them. See? Now, is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Most all of what we strive for is going to rust. But Paul says, we do it an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring into the subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway, or a dokimos, or put on the shelf. Material things in life won't be your greatest temptation. Doing things your way, your rights, is your greatest temptation. You can overcome the material things. But being willing to walk humbly by the rules. Everybody else is getting married? Work hard. The hardworking farmer, in verse 6, ought to be first to receive the share of the crops. Colossians 3, 23, 24. Whatsoever you do it heartily to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. For some reason or another, we think that work was given to us as a curse. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and therefore work was given to us. But that's not true. Adam and Eve had the job of husbanding the garden, being gardeners, farmers, archivists, before they sinned. Work is a privilege that God has given us. Work hard. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. This will save you a lot of problems. If you're running a computer and you've got a supervisor that's breathing over your neck, and you think, boy, I just don't think that, I don't think they're paying me enough money to put up with this kind of stuff. Well, you're not working for money anyway. If you love Jesus and you're sold out to Him and you're a disciple of Him, you're working for God. It just so happens that you have to have money to eat. But you're working for God. All jobs are sanctified. To Him who is sanctified. To the pure, all things are pure. To them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. If God wants you to operate a computer, if God wants you to be a nurse, if God wants you to lay brick, that's just as important as a pastor preparing messages or a missionary translating the Bible. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do. Why? It's because you and I belong to Jesus Christ. Work hard. The Green Berets, a special unit in our armed forces, are trained over in North Carolina. And they're trained day after day by a drill sergeant. And they carry a 40-pound pack all during their training. Special forces carrying a 40-pound pack. Every man carries a 40-pound pack, with one exception: the drill sergeant. He carries a 60-pound pack. By his authority, he could crack the whip on those guys and shut them up. By carrying a 60-pound pack, he doesn't have to say a word. Because he's going through every exercise, every drill that they're going through. If we can grasp that attitude in regard to work hard. I was lost as a goose, laying brick, and I was grumbling. And my father took me aside one day. We were having a beer someplace. And he said, "Son, I want to share something with you. I want to tell you something. I want to help you." I still use that expression. Let me help you. Let me help you. He said, "Son, you're a husky kid. You're a smart boy. You're strong. You pick up things fast. Not, you know, thievery or kleptomaniac, but, you know, learn things fast." He says, "But the world is deadbeats, weak, and cheats." He says, "That's the way things are. Now, if you will learn to work hard and do your quota of work and lift your neighbors just a little bit for no remuneration, but simply because you're strong and got guts, you'll be happy." How about that? Lost as a goose, both of us, but he figured it out. He says, "Lay your quota of bricks on the line, you know, and then reach over, not to make him embarrassed, but to reach over and help this guy and lay a couple of bricks of him. And, you know, next time, lay your bricks on the line and reach over and help this guy." See, always be helping somebody just because you're strong and just because he's weak for no remuneration, and you'll be happy. And, you know, when I got converted, I thought, "Hey, man, I'll just keep that up." Of course, that's a wonderful Christian principle, isn't it? Work hard. Don't be so concerned that I'm not getting that Susie got a bigger piece of cake than I did. You remember that when we were kids, you know? By the way, you know how to divide it. You got a piece of cake and two children, you know how to handle that, don't you? Let one of them cut it and the other one choose. See, that's a good one. Obedience. 2:7, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Obedience is a prerequisite to further light. Obedience gives revelation. "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." Hebrews 5:8. Obedience. Studying the Bible is marvelous, and we need to get the knowledge. But to get revelation, we have to obey. And in God revealed. John gave us Mark 4:24 last night. You know, "To them that hear shall more be given." And in the King James, the word "hear" has two different meanings. "Hear" meaning to hear like this, like you're listening. Another is "to hear" meaning to put it into practice. "Shall more be given." Proverbs 9:10, "For the reverence and fear of the Lord are basic to all wisdom. Knowing God results in every kind of understanding." Endure trouble, verse 9. "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even in the bonds, but the word of God is not bound." 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." I love that. Don't you like it? Strange thing, going through all these troubles. Peter said, "Strange? Man, that's everyday life." One of the basic problems that you're going to face, and you've faced already, is working with people. I had a man working with me. His name, we'll call him Jim, since that was his name. He was an engineer. At that time, he was one of the hardest men to work with. I think I ever had the privilege of working alongside. And he told me that I returned a compliment. But he was a literal genius. And I had the job of refurbishing Glenary. And he knew Glenary better than he knew the back of his hand. And every time that man would have a problem and lose a victory with me or something else, I'd go over to his office, his shop, and humble myself and say, Jim, what do I need to do to make you happy? Sometimes it was more money. Sometimes it was more men. Sometimes it was an apology. And I said, Jim, it takes me to about 10 o'clock to clear my desk. As soon as I clear my desk, I'll put on my coveralls and I'll come over and I'll carry your pliers and screwdrivers around all day and I'll just wait on you. He said, oh, John, you don't have to talk like that. I said, I know I don't. I said, I can walk with one leg. I said, I can run Glenary without you. But I said, I sure don't want to, boy. I really don't. Why? It's because two things. I needed him like I needed my hand. And another thing is, I didn't want to be defeated that I couldn't work with a brother. When we were in New Zealand, we got a letter from Jim, and he said, John, the greatest 5 years of my life was the 5 years of working with you at Glenary. When I went to New Zealand, I was working for a foreigner, and he said, I want you to report to Eric. Eric had been on staff for a year and a half, and here I was, 50 years old, been on the staff for 20 years at that particular time. Swallowed my pride, got up there, worked with him. Humble yourself, see? Because now then, at this age, I can look back and say I never turned my back and was defeated by working with any man. I humble myself. It makes you feel good. It also gives you victory. It also gives me a message to share with you, doesn't it? You see, Johnny, it can be done. You see? And a lot of the trouble is going to come from some supervisor, some officer that's drunk or what have you, see? 1 Peter 2:24, what glory is it when you take it, if you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is in acceptable with God. Well, let's see, what else we want to show? Study, endure hard service. Study, we got that last night, that's really good. Avoid foolish discussions. Don't spend your life on things that even if you won, you wouldn't be too proud about it. Here's the verses. Work hard to be a better vessel. Better vessel, both purity and for God, and work hard on your vocation. I think we should be reading a book or taking a course or taking a night course most all of our life. Flee youthful lust. There's one way to fight lust, with a good pair of Adidases. To get you a good pair of running shoes. Keep them close by. You know, slip those babies on and dig out. That's the only way you can fight it. Servant. Gentle, teacher, faith, meek. Well, we got over those fast, didn't we? All right, now turn to your page and let's read it. We'll have a word of prayer. We'll go. And straightway he considered his disciples. He constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side. We're apt to imagine if Jesus Christ constrains us, we obey him, he will lead us to great success. We must never put our dreams of success as God's purpose for us. His purpose may be exactly the opposite. We have an idea that God is leading us to a particular end, a desired goal. He is not. The question of getting to a particular end is a mere incident. What we call the process, God calls the end. What is my dream of God's purpose? His purpose is that I depend on him and on his power now. If I can stay in the middle of the turmoil, calm and unperplexed, that is the end of the purpose of God. God is not working towards a particular finish. His end is the process. That I see him walking on the waves, no shore in sight, no success, no goal, just the absolute certainty that it is all right because I see him walking on the sea. It is the process, not the end, which is glorifying to God. God's training is for now, not presently. His purpose is for this minute, not for some time in the future. We have nothing to do with the afterwards of obedience. We get wrong when we think of the afterwards. What men call training and preparation, God calls the end. God's end is to enable me to see that He can walk on the chaos of life just now. If we have a further end in view, we do not pay sufficient attention to the immediate present. If we realize that obedience is the end, then each moment as it comes is precious. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this wonderful lesson. Help us to make application in Jesus' name. Amen.